has some various people with instruments and parts of instruments to show you and give you a little bit more information about what a concertina is. But primarily what I'd like to do today is to give you as much time to hear what a concertina does. That's what it's really all about. I have four musicians here today, and if they'd stand up and introduce themselves, I'd like to bring them all to you. We've got Bob Walter here, an embarrassing standing away from us.
We're deciding what we're going to do. We have several things to show you today. We have lots of different kind of concertinas. We're going to show you some parts of concertinas. We'll give you a little kit that you can put your own concertina together from spare parts. No, that's not.
It's cheap.
But we're gonna start by seeing if we can play something together, which is a novelty for these workshops. We've never started this way before, so it may be a complete disaster. But let's see what happens.
It was your idea. Sure, it'll be a complete disaster.
No. What's your idea, though, so you can lead it off?
All right. If it's cacophonous, we can drop out and let one person play and another person play. We're doing all the different kinds of concertinas here,
and if it goes
like this.
Close enough.
Captain, I've been a sailorman. I can dance, I can sing, I can walk the jib and handle a harpoon and cut a fine figure. Whenever I gets in the boats and the room, we'll rant and we'll roar like true Yankee whalemen. We'll rant and we'll roar on deck and below till we sight gay at a old Martha's Vineyard and straight up to Charlton to Bedford we'll go.
I bought some gold brooches for the gals on the bay. Bought me a clay pipe and they call it the meerschaum. But it melted like butter the first sunny day. And we'll rant and we'll roar like true Yankee whalemen. We'll rant and we'll roar on deck and below till we sight gay head of old Martha's Vineyard. Straight up the channel to New Bedford we'll go.
Oh,
Virginia and straight up the channel to Bedford, Brooklyn.
I went to a dance last night in Old Tumbes. Plenty of girls there as fine as you wish. One pretty maiden a chewing tobacco, just like a young kitten a chewing fresh fish. We'll rant and we'll roar like true Yankee women. We'll rant and we'll roar on deck and below, till we strike gay head off old Martha's Vineyard, straight up the channels to Bedford, Brooklyn.
Jeff said just before we started, when we first decided to do that, to start the workshop, he said, well, it may sound awful, but at least it'll be friendly. And I think that's about as good as you can put it.
And I was right.
We have represented with us today the three most common types of concertinas, not necessarily the only types. There's a couple of other keyboard systems, but I think we won't get this too technical. How many of you would like to hear, how many of you know about concertinas already? I've got to know this because some people want to know how to tune reeds, and other people want to know what the heck a concertina is, and it's kind of hard to decide where we're at. Okay. We're going to just give a very brief explanation of the three major types of instruments, and then Don Nichols is sitting over here, and he's got some weird stuff that he wants to show you,
mm-hmm.
And I mean weird stuff. And we'll also get a chance to hear this big lunker that's sitting here on the floor about to disintegrate just on its very own. Those bellows are in bad shape.
I love them.
Yeah, they're neat. We should start with what? I guess we should start with the English, because if it hadn't been for Mr. Wheatstone and his development of the English concertina, we wouldn't all be here, except the Germans were also getting into it.
When I'm not around other concertinas, I don't mind playing anything. But when you're around other concertinas, you should really let them do the jobs that they can do better than this one can. And perhaps we will talk about why in a little while, but let me just play a tune that seems to fit this kind of concertina, the English concertina, 1840s-ish, 39, 37. A lot of different patents that were started, including ones that Wheatstone blew into before he finally evolved the bellows system. This is a tune that's connected with a dance from Abbots Bromley in England. But Cecil Sharp, who discovered the dance, found that it was still being danced in the springtime in Britain after thousands of years, didn't like the fact that this majestic, mystical dance was being done to Pop Goes the Weasel, and decided that instead he should find the proper tune, since he was going to have it demonstrated at the Albert Hall in Britain. And so he selected this tune. It's a French tune.
You know, You notice that Jeff's playing is very crisp, it's very clear, and there's a lot of single note work. Maybe you'd like to explain why there's a lot of single note work in English concertina very briefly.
Why, Bob?
I don't know. I was hoping you'd tell me. Not that briefly. And besides that, that's why, Bob?
I was trying to... The two things that I think that this instrument can do well, the English concertina, is to play lyrical tunes and to accompany singing very well. You can get chords on a lot of notes, and you can sustain notes for a considerable period of time, and you can play legato, or slurring the tunes, notes one after the other, and you get a lovely accompaniment that way. It's not really great for punching out a dance rhythm. So I just tried to take a simple tune where the beauty of it was in the melody rather than in the decoration of it, since I find it difficult to decorate. What do I mean by decorate? Stuff. I mean, it's okay, but it's really, that should be left to another instrument. Didn't answer your question, but I don't...
Not yet, but we're getting there.
All right.
Okay. Basically, you've all played a harmonica. You have to realize, those of you who've never seen a concertina before, these are nothing but big mechanical harmonicas. There are metal reeds in each end, and by working the buttons and the bellows together, we're forcing the wind that's in the instrument through vibrating pieces of metal, and that's producing the pitch. And all of these concertinas and the accordions and the other instruments that we'll show you all work on that principle. There are metal reeds in there, and they're vibrating, and we get to select which ones of the reeds get to vibrate when. And consequently, we play music with the instruments. That's fairly simplified, but that's the way it works. Jeff's instrument is set up in such a way that to play a scale, you've got to go from one hand to the other. Good work.
When you're learning, it's...
Now, if you just imagine a piano player playing a melody, right? Imagine playing a piano.
Or one on top and then one on the bottom.
It's pretty hard to play chords or any real sophisticated accompaniment with an English because your both hands are involved playing the melody. And that, in some cases, is very wonderful because you can produce a nice, crisp, clear sound. And in other cases, it's not so wonderful.
We'll get back to that, but let somebody else do something. And then
about the parallel continue. With the development in England of this concertina in the mid-1800s, there was another development going on in Germany, in the German states, using the same principles of vibrating reeds to produce sound in a small instrument. And the development that they worked on there was a very different kind of a concertina and accordion principle. I mean, it's the same principle, but the way you produce the sound is very different. And these instruments were probably the most used by sailors because they were the least expensive to buy. They came down to us in the form of the Anglo concertina or the Anglo-German concertina. Bob Walzer and Ellen Cohn both have those, and you guys can fight it out.
We apologize for the fact that one is called the English concertina and the other is called the Anglo concertina. It should be noted that that's what's come down to us out of tradition, and we're stuck with it.
I did, however, find a Whaling manuscript where a woman referred to these kind of concertinas as German concertinas.
Yes.
So we'll call those the German concertinas, and this is the English.
The concertinas that we have are very similar, but the ways that we play them are quite different. This instrument is suited to different kind of playing, really. And this is much more like a harmonica. If you just grab a harmonica, stick it in your mouth, and blow, you'll get a sound like this. And if you stick it in your mouth and draw in, you'll get a sound like this. You get different sounds going in and out, and that's exactly what happens on this instrument. Every button plays two different notes. You get one sound squeezing, and a different sound pulling. So one of the reasons why an instrument like this could be very popular with sailors is that they don't have to know very much to play it. You just kind of, if you're going to sing a song like the last one, all you have to do is, if you stay in the middle row of buttons, I'm only going to play in the middle row, you go, not too tough, right? And that's the great advantage of this instrument, is just the mechanics of it are, if you know anything about music theory, you get a one chord when you squeeze and a five chord when you pull, and most simple tunes can be simplified to those two chords, and there you go. That's all you need. You can do a lot more than that with the instrument, and we have relatively fancy ones. Would you hold yours up? This is probably, this is the modern equivalent of what sailors most likely use.
That's right.
Very much like that. Two rows of buttons. The bellows made mostly out of Cardboard and leather, the hands made out of the pie. In this case, that's formica, right? mahogany here, or some inexpensive kind of wood, things like that, which could be manufactured very, very inexpensively, and were sold in the Sears Roebuck catalog in 1898 for around $3 to $5, things like that.
They're not $3 to $5 anymore either.
They're a little more than that. These are much fancier ones that were made by. Is yours Jeffrey's too?
Well, it could be.
It could be.
But it might not be those.
All right. By fancier makers in England. But rather than talk a lot, I'll just play one example of a tune. One style of playing on this that plays on that using lots of chords, and then Ellen can play something in a very, very different style. Tell a little bit about that. I'll play a modern tune just because it's a fun one to play. Which has lots of chords in it.
This tune, make a special point of watching her bellows on the concertina. You watch Bob play, well, it's very different, and visually it's much more impressive than you think. Bob, when he played his tune, he had the instrument was really moving a lot, and the bellows were going in and out. Ellen will play a much more severe style with much less bellows travel. You really can control these instruments very, very well, but there'll be a lot less movement. So now that I put you under pressure to not move your bellows at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can actually do that. The other thing, which if you're very perceptive, you'll notice, is that the main direction, the basic direction that I'll be playing in is drawing out, not pushing in. It's a completely opposite feeling.
How do you get in to come out?
Aha, you push.
You mean when you're there, when you're there, you just go real heavy in so you have the room to come out?
Yeah, or, well, I mean, when you're doing a normal tune that's pushing, how do you pull?
But you just said that you're going to do most of it on the draw.
Yeah.
So I just, if most of it's on the draw, by the end of the tune,
you're out here.
Well, there's pushing notes in between, but
yeah,
what
so
I was
you really lean on those to get in.
Yeah.
What he's asking is whether you use your air valve.
I do use my air valve.
Mm. Uh-huh, you see.
That lets you come in so you can come back out.
Do all of you know that there are buttons on this instrument that don't make any noise at all? No, there's head shaking.
Wait a minute. Let's all do this together.
Let's everybody stand up.
This is the absolute phone call trick.
1, 2, 3, here we go.
Okay, sit down.
It's Bob.
Come out of an Anglo when I pick it up, but it doesn't work. It's harder than it looks. A lot harder. Are you set?
Well, we can go
okay.
On and come back.
That leaves us with the oddballs, some of the oddballs, and this is the oddest oddball maybe of all. I did see one concertina that was odder than this, and I'll tell you about it in a minute. This is what is known as a duet concertina, and it is not only just a duet concertina, but it's a McCann system duet concertina, invented about 1875 or 1880 or so. And the main feature of this instrument is it's much like an English concertina that Jeff Warner played, but the buttons are arranged in such a way that you have all of the higher notes in the right hand and all the bass notes, the low notes, in the left hand. Point being that you can now play the entire melody one-handed, and theoretically, and I say theoretically as you'll soon see, the accompaniment is in the left hand, and it plays very much like a piano. Unlike an accordion, however, the left-hand buttons do not play chords. On an accordion, often you can push one left-hand button and get a full range of two or three notes playing together. This instrument is single notes on both sides, and it's the same pitch in and out. This was mostly not a folk instrument. It was mostly used in the British Music Hall, and there were some very fine entertainers in England from about the turn of the century until the Second World War who made a fairly good living playing these instruments on the theater stage. It has some interesting things. You can do drones with it. But you can also do sort of complex things. Thank you. not what you would call a folk song, although probably more of you know Ramona than some of these other sailor songs that we do. First one was When You're in Love, You'll Waltz. It was recorded in 1928 or 29 by Baby Daniels. And, oh, what a sweet singer she was.
Couldn't all right. Now, yes. You were playing primarily on the right hand, the melody?
Everything's on the right. The melody was all on the right. The left hand was either counterpoint accompaniment or full chords.
Could you do that? Switch that? I mean, would you?
Yeah, I turn the left hand, I put it over here.
No, it's not. Is it because it's a right-handed instrument?
It's because I'm right-handed, yeah.
But the it instrument, could be done?
It is right-handed. The high notes are on the right hand on all of these instruments.
Ah.
You can reverse and play the melody in the low octaves on the left hand because the keyboard is the same, only mirror reversed, of course. What you play with your first finger on your right hand, you play with your little finger on your left because the whole keyboard is just turned around. But it's the same keyboard. So if you practice scales up one side, the scale actually starts at the bottom of the left hand, goes up to the top of the left hand, then there's a little bit of the crossover at the bottom of the right, and then it goes all the way up to the top of the right. So it's a continuous chromatic scale, just like a piano keyboard laid out in buttons. So you can do anything you want. And a skilled player can play Bach and other kinds of contrapuntal music on this instrument. I'm not going to attempt that today because I don't know how to do it, but someday I hope to be able to do that for you.
Oh, go ahead.
But no, thank you. I'll pass. Do we have? Is there anybody in the house? Do you have a Triumph system? Can you hold it up for people to see? There's another kind of McCann system here. Another kind of duet system. This is the same principle, but you notice it only has 5 rows of buttons as opposed to mine, which has 6. This is called the Triumph or Crane system duet. It works on exactly the same principle. It's got the low notes in the left hand and the high notes in the right, but the keyboard system is very different. You couldn't play a McCann straight away from that. No, and I can't play Crane either because the systems are very different. But it works on the same idea that you can accompany yourself. Salvation Army players in England used to like the Crane system because it was sort of straight ahead, and they tuned the instruments to brass band pitch and played along with the trumpets and stuff while they were doing revival on the street. So you see a lot of them with Salvation Army initials carved into them. And here, to bring us down to the lowest level.
Good one.
This is another English concertina, but it's very different than the one Jeff played before.
Every note is an octave lower from what I had before. And this is the first one that I got several years ago. It's one of the best instruments that I've ever come across, and was until I rode over it in my car. In which case, it's just a good one now. Instead of
used to be six-sided, right?
Yes. It's good for song accompaniment, as the English concertina is, so let's do some bleeding notes here. As I was a-walking down by has the sea wall, cold was the morning and dark was the day, and should I spy but one of my shipmates wrapped up in flannel and cold as the fillet. Beat the drums over and play the fife merrily, sound the dead march as you carry him along, take him to the graveyard fire for volleys o'er him. He was a young sailor cut down his pride. I'll do a couple of verses of this, and that last line each time is, he was a young sailor cut down in his prime. If you know the whole chorus, please sing it. At the corner of the street, two young women were standing. One to the other was heard to remark, there goes a young sailor whose money we've squandered, whose life we have tasted and
the words they were written. All ye young sailors, take a warning by me, and never go courting flash girls of the city. Flash girls of the city,
advise you taking up that instrument if you have a soft voice. It's kind of hard sometimes to sing over these. There are, yes, there's the
first
reason why.
A reed that I'm going to pass around for all
more. That's what makes it work. Don's going to pass around a little metal reed in a frame, and there are two of those actually for each button on the concertina. One which sounds when you push the instrument together, and one on the other side of the reed pan which sounds when you separate the bellows and draw it apart. So you're talking about, on these instruments of 55 keys, about 110 reeds or so, all of which are tuned to different pitches. The little piece of metal in the middle of the reed is shaved off and filed until it's in the right tune. You want to show us another sort of a free reed squeeze box sort of instrument?
Sure. First off, we've all gotten a good idea of what a concertina is. It's sort of a vaguely round, moderately small instrument, up to that big. Fairly subdued colors, in maybe wood or metal, depending. Well, the definition of a concertina seems to be that on a concertina you push the buttons in the direction you squeeze the bellows. An accordion, you push them at right angles. You push them towards you. Well, this, believe it or not, is a concertina.
Ugly.
It's ugly.
You want to sit down? What do you mean now you're sitting down?
I don't know. I've probably pinched my legs. This is what happens when an Anglo concertina goes absolutely wild. The middle section of it. Is sort of like an Anglo, and then outside a certain limit, everything goes absolutely crazy.
Really? No system?
The notes are marked with strange things like crosses, stars, 6/8, anything and everything. I can't play the beast, because I play English primarily. It's got a giant air valve there. It's operated by a thumb lever. And so what it does is it ventilates your right armpit. Uh-huh. Bob, you play Anglo. You want to have a try at squeezing something out of the middle of this thing?
All right. This has another name, doesn't it?
Bandonian is a common term for...
Yeah. This is called a bandonian. It's also known as a concertina, and it's basically a German instrument, German origins, and they have a special keyboard system. You have to really practice this thing and learn how to play it, because the notes don't make any sense. Where they're placed in the button arrangement doesn't make any sense whatsoever, as Bob is about to demonstrate.
It wasn't invented by Jack
LaPlane. Well, had he had one. Apparently, there's still a lot of people who play this instrument.
All right.
Play the 6/8 button.
I think it'd be a good idea.
Is that the gear shift? That's weird. Man.
Yeah, it's
both too strange, folks.
There's actually a tutor for the Beastie that I managed to get a chance to hear on. 102 buttons on it.
Whoa.
That is your church pipe organ.
It's a strange instrument. They're very popular in the Northeast, up around Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Midwest, too.
The Midwest, too.
There are actually, in the town of New Ulm, Minnesota, there are two makers who make these things by hand. And the one who I met a short time ago has backed up his orders for about 5 years, and he charges about $2,000 per instrument to build these things for all the polka bands in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and all through that area. So it's a real
all
use instrument out there.
It's very regional.
That one was made around 1968, and it was obtained for $50 through a classified ad, and I thought I was going after an English concertina.
Surprise! When the case came out of the closet, he knew he was hit.
Slip beads on the forehead.
Really?
No, this is Don Nichols.
No, we didn't introduce Don.
Engineer and concertina internist from Vienna, Virginia.
Thank you, Don, very much. Don knows more about repairing and working on and making these things work than just about anybody else in the country now, I suppose, and he's computerized everything, so we no longer have to have any fear. Before we lose Bob altogether, maybe we should play another tune. Somebody should play another tune. Let's hear some more music. Then we ought to also talk about... That's the vacancy movie. We also should show off the button accordion, as long as we're talking about big free reed instruments.
There is a photo, by the way, being passed around by one of the members of the audience of a concertina disassembled.
Yes, that's true. Be sure you see these lovely photographs that Ms. Nichols, I don't know your first name.
Marge,
of course. Marge Nichols is passing around some lovely photographs that she took of a Wheatstone concertina, completely disassembled, and you can see the reed frame with all the reeds mounted in it, and also the buttons and levers that make everything open up and make the wind travel the right way.
A melodeon. If you look at photographic documentation of sailors and such like, very rarely do you see concertinas actually in pictures of crews or ships and things like that. The instrument, more than any other, which you see in late 19th century and early 20th century pictures of sailors, is this instrument or one like Ellen's got, actually most commonly one with this configuration of two rows of buttons. That's probably the best document as far as photographic documentation. The best documented instrument at sea. And it works, it was popular with sailors for the precise reason that I claimed the concertina would be.
It's so easy to play.
As a matter of fact, this instrument is so easy to play. I'd like a volunteer who's never played to do a duet with me. Could I get a volunteer? Okay, come here.
All right.
Okay, what we're going to do is she's going to play the accordion and I'm going to sing a song, all right? And we will demonstrate how easily it's played. I'll hold it like this. I want you to play any button you want. You play one at a time or a whole bunch together. I don't care what you're going to do.
Bob, you're sure this is not a ringer, right? I mean, you really have never played before?
Okay.
All right. We got
to make sure. Is it natural? I'll sing you a song, a good song of the sea. Concertina, there's two notes on every button, and I could control what note she was playing by determining the direction the bellows were moving. And so she didn't really have that many choices. That's how it works.
Would you explain the purpose of the stops?
The stops. Oh, this has two sets of reeds in it. Every time you hit a button, you're actually opening a valve, which lets the air pass through reeds. And these don't work very well, so I can explain them better to show you. If I turn one set off, you only hear one reed vibrate. Now it doesn't turn off all the way, so. If I turn that on, it should be two reeds vibrating. Can't really hear the difference in this one. These stops are broken, but if they work, that's what they would do. Just it changes the sound of the instrument a little bit.
You notice also he's only got two little levers on the left hand to play his accompaniment chords with. Each one of those buttons makes a full chord. Different chord each direction. So he is not going to be playing in the key of F sharp.
But you have one, five, and two keys. Is that what that does? One, five, and two keys. Two levers.
Two levers.
One for...
One chord, C chord.
In or out?
B. In only, and on the out is B chord. That's it.
And the bottom one?
Is the bass note to go with.
Oh, all right, so. Yeah.
Those are all the choices you've got. Makes it simple.
These instruments are very close to those only. As you can see, they've got a second row of buttons, and they have more chord choices for the left hand. this is an authentic nylon string. This accordion was made by the Hohner Company. In fact, the same company that makes harmonicas today was a great maker of these button accordions. One question I have, do you know about what the difference strictly between a melodeon and a button accordion is? Somebody said this was a melodeon to me the other day, and I said, "Well,
yeah, I don't think there's any dictionary definition. I think the terms melodeon and button accordion or diatonic accordion sometimes interchangeable. I think the old timers used to call that a melodeon. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I call what Bob has a melodeon, with the spoons. That's what strikes me as a melodeon, and this is a button accordion or diatonic accordion. But I think you could get five answers from six people if you asked. They're kind of interchangeable words, as far as I know."
The German name for that is a Viennese accordion.
Viennese accordion, yeah.
Also known in German as a Schifferklavier, which means sailor's piano.
Yeah.
There you go, high definition.
That's right.
Mine happens to have a percussion section built into it. Very clackety. That was an extra. In two keys like that. A lot of them are D and G. I've got some at home that are C and G. This one is, as I said, F and C.
So you would get the place on the C, I could play those.
All right. Actually, everybody could play in C.
You betcha. Yeah.
If you want to do something like
we're
that.
We're just about out of time.